Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Ayin Hey. Alicia left off yesterday on the last line of Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. Also by my dear Talmud Jeremy and his wife Rina Bienenfeld, in honor of the birth of their daughter Kayla. Mazel tov to them. So happy for them. They should be zoche legadol Torah, leben Torah, lechuppah lemaisim tovim. Also, on behalf of dailygiving.org, join me and over 6,000 people in 30 countries over the world have already joined together to easily perform this mitzvah of tzedakah each and every day. The achdus of this wonderful organization is incredible. It's so nice to get an email every day to see that I gave tzedakah somewhere worthy, a wonderful organization. It's also sponsored by the Sober family in honor of the engagement last night of Zahava to Jeremy Spector. We wish the young couple a mazel tov, and the Sobers are dear friends of mazel tov as well, and they should have much nachas from the young couple. So we are holding on. Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. We're in the last line of the page. Ki yitein b'kosein yisalik b'mei sharim. And the Gemara is in the middle of going through four different disputes between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi. All about Agadita. The whole daf today is Agadita. You could see from the Tzuras Adaf that the whole daf is going to be Agadita today. The challenge is going to be saying all the words in time. But we're going to have the second, third, and fourth machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi. And then we're going to have a machlokas whether the daga that Klal Yisrael complained about, what exactly that was. Are they referring to fish, that they didn't have enough fish? Or was it a remez to arayos that they really missed being able to violate arayos? Then the Gemara is going to discuss a lot about the man, why the man is called Gad Lavan, and many other details about how it came down and its nature and what it would, problems that it would solve. And then the Gemara is going to have many different teachings about the slav. Then the Gemara at the end of the daf is going to talk about why the people in the Midbar required shovels to bury their waste, if there was no waste product from the man. That was one of the miracles of the man, that it just became muvla begufam, it just became absorbed in their body, and there was no waste. Why did they need shovels to cover up their waste? So let's see. Ayin Dalet and Beis, last line on the page. Ki yitein b'koseinu yishalich b'mei sharim, the Pasuk Gemishle tells us. So Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yassi have machlokas about how to interpret the Pasuk. Chadam, or one of them, says, kala nosein eino b'koso, anyone who loves to drink, he likes to get drunk. Arayos kulam domus lov kemishar, all of the arayos will be mutter to him, because the yayin is maybe l'day arayos. That's the sota, kala ro, sota b'kukula, yazaratzimum in the yayin, because you see the ill effects of yayin. So a person who drinks too much yayin, all of a sudden, all of the arayos seem mutter to him. V'chadam rekolanosin enu because, so anyone who loves to get drunk, kololam kulo doma lov kemishar, that other people's money seems like it's mutter to him, because the Gemara is referring over here, it's one of the few references in Shas, to addiction, that a person is going to become addicted to wine, they're going to become an alcoholic, and therefore they're going to need their fix, and when they run out of money to buy their own alcohol, they're going to take money of other people, they're going to justify in their minds why they could take money from other people in order to continue to feed their habit. That's the way Rashi understands, as explained by the Marsha. Marsha has an alternative explanation that it's Hanose Neno Bikiso with a Yud, that the Gemara is darshaning, that since it says Ki Yitein Bakes Eno, without a Vav, doesn't say Bakos with a Vav Male, it says it Beis Chav Samach without a Vav, we read it as if it says Bakis, that the Gemara is trying to tell me that someone who's always looking at his wallet, he's going to desire money from other people, and that's why he's going to end up stealing from other people, because he's overly concerned with money. The Rabbeinu Eliyakim has a third interpretation, that Anosin Enov Bikiso, again, looking at his money, but this means that he's very stingy, and he's not very giving with his money, so everything is going to be, whatever he has stolen from other people, he's going to be loath to return the money, because he's always looking at keeping his money, giving something up for him is such a great challenge. So one of those three interpretations, or all of those three interpretations, are interpretations of this one pshat in the pasuk. This tzad of the machlokas between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi. Another machlokas, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi, on another pasuk in Mishlei. The Da'ago b'lev ish yashchena, that if a person has worry in his heart, yashchena, that's the advice. What does that mean, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi? So the Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi disagree. Chad Omer one says it means yisi chena midaito, that he should remove it from his mind, just focus on something else. V'chena amar yisichena l'acherim, that no, he should start talking to other people about it, and that's the way to lift the worry from him. So is it better to hold it back, or better to talk to other people. In the Divrei Eliyahu in Sotah Daf Mem Beis, he raises the question. He says, wait, the pasuk is written with a shin, and both of these interpretations are with a sin, right? The way we're interpreting the pasuk, it's either yisichena midaito or yisichena la'acherim. But the pasuk says yashchena, not yaschena. So he explains that they're not trying to explain the word yashchena in the pasuk. They're trying to give an etzah tova to a person how to get rid of his daiga. And one of the ways is yasiach daito mimena. The other way is that he should speak about it with other people. Yashchena just means get rid of it. But how do you get rid of it? So those are the two bits of advice of how to get rid of it. But it's not actually touching up the pasuk. So says the Divrei Eliyahu. The Tosfos Yom HaKippurim explains that yasichena midaito uses the lashon of daiga because it's something that's already happened, and that's why it says yasichena midaito. Whatever happened already happened. You're not going to fix it. You're not going to change the past. Whereas yasichena la'acherim assumes that daiga is not about that which already happened. Daiga b'levish is a reference to that which you anticipate is going to happen. That if a person is concerned that something is going to go wrong, so tell other people about it. Sometimes there are solutions just because you don't see the solution in your own mind. So you're so worried, you're so nervous, nothing's going to go right. If you tell other people, sometimes there are solutions that are out there, and you just have other people think about the problem, and they may be able to help you solve the problem. So it's not that they're arguing, it's dependent on the situation. That if it's something that's already in the past, so there's no use in trying to fix it, so then you just try to forget about it. But if it's something about the future, so then you could still preempt the issue and you might be able to fix it, so maybe tell other people about it. And a final machlokas, Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asi, v'nachash afar lachma, the Poskin Shayot tells us that the snake eats from the dirt. Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asi, chad amar, afilu ochel kol ma'adan ayolam, toim yam tam afar. No matter what delicacies the nachash eats, it tastes like dirt to him. V'chad amar, afilu ochel kol ma'adan ayolam, ein daitum yushevus lo avat sheyochel afar. That even if he eats all of the delicacies in the world, he's only happy if he eats dirt. So Tanya, Amr of Yossi, Bo Reish, Lokum, Yiskosh, Varkum, Yisbos, V'dam. Piggybacking on this last machlokas about the Nachash, so we're going to talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes differently than human beings would punish other people, in the sense that the curse of the Nachash wasn't a 100% curse. There was there was a tremendous silver lining for the Nachash, and we're going to find that that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu curses many people, that there's a silver lining in it. Midas Bas V'dam, Maknes is Chaver, Diori Melchayev. If someone does something wrong to you, you go after him. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu einu kein. Kilelas hanachash ol legagmas zanosav imo. Yori lematimas zanosav imo. He curses the nachash, and you know what the nachash has? Food wherever he wants, wherever he goes. There's always going to be dirt, and he's always going to have food. And that's what the Meiri points out, that a person should be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should follow the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the sinner that you have for another people should not prevent you from doing kindness with him to the extent that you're able to. As Maisa with Ramesha, that there was a very famous episode where someone really, really went after him, but then the person needed some help, and Ramesha helped him, and the Rebbetzin stepped in and said, what are you doing? Why are you helping? He needs help, so what are you doing? He needs help, so he helps him, even though this is a person that did not deserve, so to speak, the help of Ramesha. So that's the way we're not supposed to hold a grudge. We're supposed to help a Jew when a Jew is in need. Kilelas Kenan, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu cursed Kenan when that he's going to be an Eved Liachiv, right? Arur Kenan, Eved Avadim Yela Leechav, the Pasuk says. So Ochel Masha Rabba Ochel Veshosa, Masha Rabba Shosa. But nevertheless, he's still going to eat whatever his master eats. He's going to drink whatever his master drinks, meaning the curse that Kenan receives is that he gets supported his whole life, because that's the halacha by an Eved, is that the master is responsible for supporting the Eved. So you see that's part of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes. Kila lasi isha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu curses Chava, that harba arba esvonech veironech, that she's going to have damnida and damleida, and she's going to have all this these secretions from her body, which are a davar ma'us. So you would think that she has this davar ma'us that happens all the time, that no one one's going to want to go anywhere near her. But look at womankind. Hakol ratzon acharei. Men chase after women for all the years of human existence. Men chase after women. Kila las ha'adama. He curses the ground. Arura adama bavrei. Chrei v'kos v'dadda tatzmiach lach. The curse of the ground. And hakol nizar neimena. And everyone gets their nourishment from the ground. So that's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes. Now, previously we spoke about the man. We said the man anoscha. So now we're going to darshan additional psukim related to the man. So the Gemara darshan's the pasuk that it says, Zachanu es hadaga shenocha b'mitzrayim chinam, that we remember the daga that we used to eat for free in Mitzrayim. What daga did they eat for free in Mitzrayim? Rav Shmuel chadamar dogim v'chadamar arayos. So machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, whether the reference is to fish or the reference is to arayos, that they used to have arayos in Mitzrayim, and now in the Midbar they're not allowed to have these arayos. Where does how do you get from daga to arayos? So Rashi points out v'yidgu larov b'kerev ha'aretz, that v'yidgu is a reference to reproducing on mass scale. So that only happens through relations. So that's why it's arayos. Marshall explains that that just tells you puravu. That's a mitzvah, v'yidgu larov b'kerev. What is that? How does that tell you arayos? So the Marshall says that apparently when people married relatives, they were more fertile when they would marry relatives. They'd have many more children. So that's why it's a reference to arayos. When you're not married to a relative, apparently people are less fertile. I don't know what the science behind that is, but that's what the Marsha suggests. That's why it's a reference to arayos. Mandiyamar dagim d'chsiv nochal. Mandiyamar arayos d'chsiv chinam. The one that says dagim says, after all, they're saying, we remember the daga that we were nochal, that we ate. So it must be a fish. And the one that says it refers to arayos says chinam. So you can't say it's talking about fish. Who gives fish away for free? Why would they have fish for free? But when it comes to arayos, so that could have been for free because arayos means that that people are with their own krovim. If there's a relationship that's not going to require a dowry or something like that, it's going to be with a karov. People for people who normally charge money for whatever service will give to family for free. So when it comes to getting married, also it's all the money's in the same family anyway. So you don't need to prepare a dowry. Well, man diyamar arayos haksiv nochal, but the sheet that holds arayos, what do you do with the word nochal? Lashnam aliyanaka. Nah, it's just the way, that's the lashon nakia, that's the nice way we refer to arayos, we refer to it as eating. Tichsiv, because the pasuk in Mishlei says that when a woman is mizana, ochlo machtapia vamar lo pa'alti oven, that she eats and she cleans off her mouth and says, I didn't do anything wrong. It's not referring to eating, it's referring to having znus and cleaning her body off and saying that I didn't do anything wrong, but that's the lashon nakia. Well, man diyamar dogim my chinam, and the one that says that it's dogim, what does it mean that it's chinam? How could they have fish for free in Mitzrayim? Who gives fish away for free? They would bring it from Hefker. That when the Kol Yisrael would go and draw water in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch would make it that when they would pull out their pitchers, their jugs, they would not only have water, they would also have fish in that water. The Gemara in Sotah quotes this, the same drasha, but the Gemara quotes it in a little more elaborately. The Gemara in Sotah tells us that Darash Rav Avira b'schar nashim tzidkanios shoyi ba'osu adar nigalu yisol mi Mitzrayim. It's the schar of nashim tzidkanios that we got out of Mitzrayim with. B'shah shahol chos l'shav mayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazman and dogim ketani b'kateyan b'shav and mechza mayim mechza dogim, that when they would go and draw water, it would be half water and half fish. The volume of their buckets were half water and half fish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazamin lehem dogim ketani ubos v'shav so shtei kederos. They would cook up two pots, one of warm water and one of fish. And then they would go bring it out to their husbands in the field. And they would bathe them. They would feed them. And then they would be able to be intimate with them. And that's the way they were able to continue Klal Yisrael by the Nashim Tzidkanios going out of their way to make sure that their husbands were interested. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided them with Dagim Ketanim Dafka, the Marsha says, is because Dagim Ketanim the Gemara Brachos Dav Mem says that it's the healthiest food. So in order to give them their strength and to give them their health, that's why it's Dagim Ketanim. Now Rashi and Chumash quotes a different Rashi. Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Sifri that chinam doesn't mean for free. It means chinam in a mitzvahs, that there were that they were complaining that we used to not have so many mitzvahs and it was much easier for us to do our rayos. So the Gemara asked the kasha that who's giving you fish for free. So our Gemara doesn't say that it was chinam min ha-mitzvah, so you assume chinam means kipshuta, that it means without having to pay anything. So you see the Rashi HaChodesh quotes an alternate Maimer Chazal, not like our Gemara. So anyway, says Gemara, Bishlam l'man yamadagam avala rayos lo pritzibu, if you say the issue, what they were complaining about was the fish, but they were never really parts by rayos, haynu d'chsiv, that's why the Pasuk says that gan no'u l'chosikala, that Pasuk is praising the tzniyus that the Bnos Yisrael had in Mitzrayim, that they weren't prutzos ba'arayos. Now the real limud, the Marsha points out, is from the second half of the pasuk. It's not from the part that we quote, but the hemshich of the pasuk says mayan chasum, and that's a reference to the fact that they were closed off to arayos. So elman diyamar arayos, but if you hold the shita is arayos, that they were that they were complaining about the fact that they used to do arayos in Mitzrayim, mayan chasum. What does that pasuk mean when it says that they were a mayan chasim? Sounds like they were closed off from arayos. So mehanik ta'asirin lo pritzi buhu. No, those arayos that were ushered to them in Mitzrayim, when they still had the din of a Ben Noach is also has a certain isurim of arayos, that they behaved. They followed those rules of arayos. And that's what the pasuk is praising them, that they followed the rules that they had to follow in Mitzrayim as far as arayos are concerned. But they were crying about the arayos that Ben Noach are not musaran, and therefore they were mutter to do Mitzrayim, but now because of Matan Torah, they now lost out on more arayos, because now we have the arayos of Bnei Yisrael, not only the arayos of Bnei Noach. So Bishlam l'man yamar arayos haynu d'chsiv. I understand very well if you assume that the issue is arayos. That's why the pasuk says v'yishma Moshe sa'am bochel l'mishpichosav. What's l'mishpichosav? Aliske mishpichosav. That family life has changed. That they can no longer violate arayos. Shenasu lahem l'shkav etzlam. They can no longer sleep with their own family members. L'man yamar dagim. But if the whole complaint was about fish, my bochel l'mishpichosav, what does it mean they were crying about their families? They were crying about fish. They were crying about food. It wasn't about families. The Gemara, even if you hold that they were complaining about fish, they were really complaining about both things. They were complaining about fish and about arayos, meaning these are not two mutually exclusive ideas. The machlokas is, were they complaining only about arayos, or were they complaining also about arayos? But certainly daga also means fish, and that's certainly part of their complaint. So now the Gemara, once we mention the pasuk that says Acharnos Hadaga Shenochel B'Mitzrayim Chinam, so we're going to explain the hemshik of the pasuk, because they didn't only complain about the daga, they also said Esakishuim Vesavatichim, and the pasuk continues Esachatzim Vesabsalim Vesashumim. They identified certain minim that they were allowed to eat in Mitzrayim that they're no longer allowed to eat. So Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, back to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, Chadom Ertam Kalaminim Tamu Baman. One says that they were able to taste everything in the all different types of food in the man itself. But they couldn't taste these five types of food in the man, because these types of food are apparently unhealthy for pregnant women and for nursing women. So therefore, these types of food were unavailable. These tastes were unavailable in the man. And the other one says, now the taste was there. It's the consistency of it, that they didn't have the consistencies of these types of food, because apparently it's the consistency of these five foods that are bad for mu'ubaros u'minikos, but it's not necessarily the tam of these types of food that's bad for the mu'ubaros and the minikos. Once we're on the topic of the man, v'hu kizera gad lavan, the pasuk describes it as kizera gad lavan, amar abiyasi agul kigida, it's round like a gida, and lavan kimargalus, and it's white like a pearl. Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us that the Torah compares it to gad, shedoma lezera pishtan bagivolin, that it's similar to the zera pishtan while it's still in the stalk. Acherim omrim, gad shedoma lahagoda, that gad means it's not describing its physical qualities, but describing what the effect it would have on a person. That just like learning Agadita, shemoshechas libo shaladam kamayim, that it pulls a person toward Divrei Torah, right? You learn Talmud Bavli, 80% of it is Divrei Halacha, 20% is Divrei Agada. Why are all the Divrei Agada there, aside from there's so much to learn from the Divrei Agada, but it has a function that it helps pull us into it. Sometimes you're going through a few tough off dapim in a row, and you're like, I don't know, I keep waking up at so early in the morning to do these daf, I'm lost, have the, and then you have a geshmak of daf agadah, I could stick with it, I could still do it. So the agadah is moshech libo shel adam, it keeps a person involved, it keeps a person engaged. So too, the man is going to make a person want to eat more, because it makes the eating experience so enjoyable. Tanya Idach, another Brisa tells us, Gad Shemagdam li Yisrael, Iben Tishal Rishon, Iben Shiva Achron, that when there's an issue of determining, the paternity of a child, meaning a woman that was with two different husbands, and she didn't wait the shlosha chadashim of havchana, she didn't wait the 3 months in between marrying one or the other, which you're supposed to do, but she didn't. Then she got pregnant, and we don't know, was this baby born 7 month pregnancy from the second husband or a 9 month pregnancy from the first husband? The man would determine that answer. The man would tell us which one it actually is. Right? That's the halach, that we wait 92 days from one to the other. We just did a gerus the other day, and we instructed the people that they had to wait 92 days before they got married. And one of the family members of the Jewish fellow said, well, why 92? I thought it's 3 months, because we assume that zera itself might take up to 3 days to be collate. So it's 92 days and not just 3 months, right? So anyway, but Lavan Shemabin Aben Losem Shel Yisrael. It's Lavan because it whitens the averus of Klal Yisrael, which we've seen many times in this Masechta. The white represents when the sin has been cleansed. How did it tell us where who the father was? How did it serve as a paternity test? Because the man would fall on the doorstep of the fellow based on how many members of his family there was. So the volume of man would tell you how many members of his family there are. So if one of the men had an extra portion of man, you know that baby is his. If the other man had an extra portion of man on his doorstep, you know that baby was his. Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Amakshem Shai Navi, Imagadam Yisrael, Masha Bokhar, Masha Bechor, Masha Bestakin. Just like the Navi is able to tell Klal Yisrael certain dark secrets that are hidden away, Kachaman, Magadam Yisrael, Masha Bechor, Masha Bestakin, the man can also reveal certain secrets to Klal Yisrael. Kate, Tachnaim, Shabbat, Lefne Moshe Ledin. If two people came to a Din Torah in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Ze Omer Abdi Ganavtav, Ze Omer Atom Echartali, one of them says, you stole my servant, the other one said, I didn't steal anything, you sold them to me. Amar Le Moshe Leboker Mishpat. Moshe would say, we'll see in the morning and we'll see what the truth is. L'machran, the next morning, imnimsa omer beveis rabo rishon, if they would find the omer of man by the first master's house, b'yaduah shezeh kenavo, then you knew that the guy stole it because he still belongs to the first master. Imnimsa omer beveis rabo sheni, if you'd find that omer of man that belonged, that the portion of the eved by the second guy's house, b'yaduah shezeh mecharelo, then you know it rightfully belongs to the second guy and he really sold him to him. V'chein ish v'isha shemol v'moshe l'din. And so too, if a man and his wife came to Moshe Rabbeinu to Din Torah, Zelmer, he sarchalai. The man says, she ruined the marriage, she rebelled against me, and therefore I don't have to pay her ksuba. I mean, the halacha is that a man is obligated to pay his wife a ksuba when they get divorced, but only if she didn't ruin the marriage. If she was a very saldas Moshe Yehudis, so then she ruined the marriage, and therefore he's not going to have to pay her ksuba. So he says, I don't have to pay the ksuba, she destroyed the marriage. V'hi omeris, who sarchalai? That no, he's the one that ruined the marriage, and therefore he does have to pay me the ksuba. So Amar Lahem Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, Laboker Mishpat, we'll see in the morning. The Gevura Sari points out that there's machlokes tanoim, whether ksubas d'orais or ksubas d'rabanan. It's machlokes tanoim, it's machlokes amorayim, it's machlokes rishonim, right? Whether ksuba is a din d'orais or ksuba is a din d'rabanan, right? That's the question. That's the in the Sephardic ksuba, it doesn't say the chazilichi midaraisa. It doesn't say the word midaraisa. Because ksuba, we pass ksuba midrabanan, so how could you say the word midaraisa? In our ksuba, we do have the words the chazilichi midaraisa, but the Rishonim point out it's not because we hold ksuba is d'orais. It's because the money is kesef midaraisa. There's kesef tzuri and kesef medina, and the kesef daraisa is worth 8 times the amount of the kesef midrabanan. That's what Shachar points out. According to many of the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim, when we say that ksubas besula is masayim zuz and ksubas almana is meyazuz, it's not that a besula is twice as much as an almana. It's 16 times as much. Because the Ksubas Almana is with Kesef Midarabanan. A Ksubas Besula is with Kesef Midaraisa. And the Kesef Midaraisa is worth eight times the amount of the Kesef Midarabanan. So when we say the Chazilichi Midaraisa, we mean the Kesef that's Chazilichi Midaraisa, the Kesef that's Kesef Midaraisa, but not necessarily the concept of Ksubas Daraisa. But anyway, the Gemara Sari raises the question that if it's a Din Midarabanan, what was going on? There's a Moshe Rabbeinu, there's going to be such a dispute over does he have to pay me the Ksuba, does he not have to pay me the Ksuba? There's no Ksuba in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says two possibilities. Either it's a very early din drabanan from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning some of these dinim that you have a machlokas, whether it's Doraisa or drabanan, it could be the reason there's a machlokas because it's such an old drabanan that we had it in this part of Klal Yisrael for so long that they weren't able to track back whether it was Doraisa or drabanan, or it could be that they were already noheg that way, that it was something that mor besulaychi, that was something that they would do anyway, just mitam minag, and then it became takana. The Rabbanan instituted it as a requirement afterwards. So anyway, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, "We'll see you in the morning." So the Machar im nimtza omra beis baila, if her measure of food was found in her husband's house, biyadushi sar chalav. So then we know that it was her fault because he was willing to stay married to her. He wanted to be with her, so she's still his wife. Nimtza omra beis avia, but if it was in her father's house, biyadushi sar chaleha, then we know that he's the one that ruined the marriage. It's interesting. The assumption is that it is an omer of food. Omer is a measurement. It's a pretty large measurement, and this is chaps enough to mean that Yudas a tshuva. In terms of, there are many dinim that require a certain shear of shtei su'udos. Like if you set up an eruv tchumen, you need shtei su'udos. Eruv chatzeros requires shtei su'udos. The chiyuv habal in mezonos ishto is that he's got to give her two su'udos each and every day. That's halacha shulchan aruch and Ibn Ezer, simin ayin. So what does that mean, two su'udos? The Gemara in Ksubas tells us that the shear shtei su'udos as far as the bal in mezonos ishto is shisha beitzim according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and chamisha beitzim ushlish according to Rabbi Shimon. So let's say shisha beitzim, six beitzim. That means one su'uda is three beitzim. However, in Maseches Erev and Daf Pei Gimlam Beis, the Gemara tells us that anyone who eats in a day a shear of Asiris HaOmer that they ate in the Midbar is Bari Umavurach. And if he eats more than that, then he's a Ra'avtan, then he's a glutton. And if he eats less than that, he's Mekulkal B'meyev, he's going to have problems because he's going to be malnourished. So you see that the shear Achila is way bigger because Asiris HaEifa is Mem Gimel Beitzim B'chamash Beitzah. It's 43.2 Beitzim. That's the shear. That's the shear challah, but that's the shear of the asiru se'efa. Way more than the three beitzim that we're discussing over here. So the shita b'kubetzis and the sachas ksuba says no. One is talking about what men eat, and the other is talking about what women eat. That since men would do manual jobs and they'd work very hard in the field, they would need more nourishment, so they would eat the much larger shear. But a woman, in terms of what a husband has to provide his wife with, that's six beitzim because that's the average food for a woman. So the Nadbudi points out that one of the Rabbanim pointed out that that's against our Gemara, because our Gemara assumes that same shear of the Omer was on a woman's doorstep in the morning. It's the same shear of a portion of man, and that's the basis of the 43 Beitzim. Nadibuda tries to defend it, but anyway, that's the discussion Nadibuda has. Now, Ksiv, the pasuk says, Uberedes hatala lemachne laila yerid haman alav uksiv yatsa amvelaktu, that it said that they would go pick the man each and every day. So from Lashon V'yatzah, it sounds like they went outside of the Machne. So Ksiv in the Pasuk also says, Shatu Amvalatu. Lashon of Shatu sounds like they went to a far off place. So it was in a Makom Rachok. So which is it? Is it that it was the first Pasuk, Pered Satal Ala Machne Laila, that it was in the Machne? Or is it Yatzu outside of the Machne? Or Shatu really far out? So okay, how do we reconcile it? Tzadikim Yared Al Pesach Bateim. Tzadikim had it right on the doorstep. Beinim Yatzu Velatu. They had to go outside Michutz Lamechne. Urishayim Shatu Velatu. They had to go really far to gather their man. Ksiv Lechem. The pasuk calls it Lechem. Uksiv Ugos, and it also calls it Ugos. Uksiv V'Tachanu. But then it says that they had to grind it also, which sounds like it's raw grain. Haketzad Tzadikim Lechem. For Tzadikim was fully prepared. Beinunim Ugos. For Beinunim they had to bake it, but it was Ugos. Rishayim Tachanu Berechayim. And for Rishayim they had to put a lot of work into it in order to prepare it. Or dachu b'maducha, pasuk says, "Am Rabbi Yudam Rabbi Tem Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina Malamit Sheredam LiYisrael Im Amon Tachshite Nashim Davar Shenidoch b'maducha." that they would have perfumes that would come down for women together with the man, because that is that's ground up with a pestle. Those are spices that are ground up. Certain spices that you would put together with the tavshil when you're cooking it would also come down with the man to make it so if you want to have the cooking experience, that would come down with the man as well. My baboker, baboker. Why does it say twice the word baboker? The man which came down each and every morning. So you see, they would find each and every morning when they would go out, they would find avanim and margolios tovos. They would find precious gems together with the man, because the pasuk is talking about melechas hamishkan, and we'll call it baboker, baboker. So you see that which came down every morning is also came the items that they needed from melechas hamishkan also came down along with that which came down every morning. The pasuk continues with the melechas hamishkan, describes that the nesiim would bring the avnei hashoam. So Tana nesiim mamish, that the Brisa tells us the nesiim that we're talking about is Nesiyim Mamish. What does it mean, Nesiyim Mamish? It means Ananim. It means clouds. The Marsha points out, why does the Gemara call it Ananim Nesiyim Mamish? You know, Nesiyim is usually a reference to people who are the Nesiyah Yisrael. So this is a little bit funny that's the way we describe it. But anyway, that is what the Gemara seems to be saying. And based on the Pasuk, where Nesiyim refers to clouds, because it's put together with Ruach and Geshem. So we're describing these natural things in the world. So v'ayu taimu ketam l'shad ha-shemen, Am Rav Yavohu, what is the Pasuk teaching us? Ma shad ze, tino k'tonim b'kama ta'amim, af haman kol zman she Yisrael ochlen oso mosim b'kama ta'amim. Just like the child, when he nurses from his mother, tastes whatever his mother had eaten, so too, when one eats from the man, he tastes all different types of foods. Ikedar min l'shad mamish, ma shad ze mishabich l'kama gavanin, that just like it turns to many different colors, af haman mishabich l'kama ta'amim, that the man also turns to many different tastes. So Tanimish made Rabbi Shulman Karcha, Basar Shashalu Shaloka again, Nitanam Shaloka again. Meat which they asked inappropriately for meat, because they had full stomachs and they had plenty of cattle with them. So what do they need to ask for meat for? And yet they asked Shaloka Hogan, because they had plenty of animals that they could have shechted if they really wanted meat. So the response to them was Shaloka Hogan, that it came to them in the dark of night when it's not ra'oi to eat meat at a time it's not ra'oi for them to be able to prepare the meat in time for their evening meal, in time for their dinner. But lechem Shaloka Hogan, when they asked for lechem, which is an appropriate thing to ask for, because a person can't survive without lechem, so nitalem kogan, they got it in the morning when they had plenty of time to prepare it, to be able to eat it during their meals. And the Torah teaches us derech eretz through this, shaliach adam basar ela balayla, that a person is supposed to only eat meat at night time. So v'amar abaye hayman di isle sudas lo el biyamama. But wait, doesn't Abaye tell us that if a person has to eat the suda, he should only eat it during the daytime when you can see the food? So ken yamama kamina, it means when you can see the food. So light a torch so you'll be able to see the food. Have light, good lighting in the room. You'll be able to see the food, and that's the way that you're supposed to eat. It's the derech in many fancy restaurants that they don't let you see the food. That it's a very very darkened room. That's not the way a person is supposed to eat. You're supposed to be able to see what you're eating. Amar v'achbar Yaakov, b'tchilo yisol domen katarna golden shemenakren ba'ashpa. It used to be that the Jewish people were like chickens pecking away in the ashpa. At every moment, we didn't have a meal time. Whenever food came around, that's when we would eat. Hacha b'moshe v'kavlam z'man suda. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught us to put seder in our lives, that there's a time for lunch and there's a time for dinner, that you have a time that a person is supposed to eat su'uda. Habasra adela ben shineim. The pasuk describes that when the slav came down, that the meat was still ben shineim, which we use, by the way, that pasuk is used to teach us a number of halachas. That's the basis of waiting 6 hours between eating meat and eating dairy. Is habasra adela ben shineim, that we assume, according to some of the rishonim, at least half the rishonim, that the basra gets stuck in between the teeth, and since basra gets stuck in between the teeth, that's why Chazal required a waiting period so that you're not eating meat and milk together at the same time. That's also why there's a minhag quoted in Yeridaya that a woman on the day of the tevila is not supposed to eat meat that entire day, because we assume that the meat gets stuck between the teeth and is therefore going to be a chatzitza problem, right? That's always the question. A woman is invited to a Father's Day barbecue and it's June and it's a little tevila that night and the tevila is not till 9 o'clock. Barbecue starts at 5. What's she supposed to eat? So the other option is what? Corn on the cob? That the chorin is much worse. So you have to be careful that you can't eat, anything that gets stuck between the teeth. Uksiv, and the pasuk says prior to that, ad chodesh yamin. So it sounds like they didn't get punished until 30 days later. So, I mean, first pasuk says, sounds like immediately, abasar den beit shenayim. And the other pasuk says, a month later. Okay, it's ad beninim lealtar mesu. The beninim died right away, but rishoyim, it started v'hol kona chodesh yamin. Rishoyim had to suffer until chodesh yamin. Vayishtuchu, so amri shlakish, altakri vayishtuchu, that the Jewish people that generation were chayiv shchita, because we were complaining about not having meat, we were chayiv shchita. Shatoach, tana mishmeid Rabbi Yishuv ben Karcha, al tikri shatoach, ela shachot, melamed sheredam lisol imaman, davar shatoach and shchita, that together with the man came the slav, which required shchita. Amar Rabbi v'chimikana talamad, from here you learn that the slav was something that required shchita, but look for Nehemar, the pasuk already says, Vayamter aleim ka'afar she'er ukichol yamim ov kanaf. So you see that the slav is called ov kanaf. V'tanya, Rabbi Omer, when the pasuk says v'zavachta kasher tzivisicha. So you see that we don't find that that the Torah has commanded us on Shechita prior to this, melamed, but it's telling me, what's it referring to, kasher tzivisicha, like I already commanded you about Shechita? It must be, shen etzdav Moshe al haveshet v'al hakana, that Moshe Rabbeinu was already told about the Shechita of the kana and the veshet, and that's the shir Shechita, al rov echad ba'of, and about how you only have to cut rov of one simon by an oaf, al rov shnayim v'behema, and you have to cut rov of both simon when it comes to behema. So Moshe was etzdav on Shechita sa'ofos. Since the slav was a bird, obviously required Shechita. So you don't need a pasuk of Shatoach to tell me that the slav required shchita. It was already something that that was taught. El matal m'lam shatoach m'lamit shayor lehem mashtechin mashtechin, that the slav came down when it was Shatoach al aretz, it was spread out over the grounds. Ksiv lechem, the pasuk describes the man as lechem in hashemayim, uksiv shemen, and it's also described as shemen because it says v'yatam uketam l'shad hashemen, and also ksiv dvash, it says that v'tamu k'tzapiches v'dvash, so it's called honey as well. So which is it? Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, l'na'arim lechem, for young people it tasted like lechem because that's what's good for them, l'zakenim shemen because that's what's good for them, and l'tinokos dvash, and for young children it tasted like honey because that's what's good for them. So it tastes like whatever you want the things to taste like. When people get older, very sweet things aren't so delicious anymore. When children are very young, you ever taste those things that you loved as a child and you try them again as an adult? It's disgusting. You can't, you lose that taste for things that are so super, super sweet. Ksiv slav, it says slav, the karinan, slav with the samach. It says it with the sin, but it's red with the samach. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, tzadikim ochlino so b'shalva, the tzadikim eat it with b'shalva, with a sense of calm, and rishoyim ochlino so v'domelen kisvilin. But rishoyim would eat it and it becomes like thorns in their body. I'm Rabbi Chanan Barava, arba mini slavein, there are four types of birds in the slav, ve'luhain, and they are the sikhli, the kivli, pisione, uslav, ma'alya dekulu sikhli, the best of them was the sikhli, kriya dekulu, the worst of all of them was slav. Vavikitsiporta, umosvin la batanura, it was like it looked like a bird, and they would put it in the oven, and vitafach, and it would swell, vavamali tanura, and fill up the entire oven, maskinale atlesa rifi, and then they would put it with 13 loaves of bread, one on top of the other, vachrona in an echelis, and the bottom one couldn't even be eaten, the bottom bread couldn't be eaten because of all the fats that dripped on it, unless you mix it with something else. That's how fatty it was, that it would drip through 13 loaves of bread, and even the bottom of the 13 loaves couldn't be eaten because it was so full of this fat. Rabbi Yehuda The birds were he would find them between his barrels. So it came in a shemayim. Rav Chisim Meshakle Beitzivi, who would find it in his base of Eitzim where he kept his wood. Rava Maisi Le'arisi Kol Yoma. The Rava's Aris used to bring him slav every day that they would find in Rava's field. Yoma Chado Aisi. And one day they didn't find any slav in his field. Amar Mai Hais. And what's going on? HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped giving me this matana. Solik Le'igra. Shami Le'anuka Dukamar. He went up to the attic and he heard a child screaming. Shamati Vetir. Bitni, saying the pasuk in Chabakuk about something terrible that happened. Amar Shemamina, Nach Nafshei Rav Chista. He said, must be the Rav Chista died. Ubadul Rabba Achel Talmida. And in the zchus of the Rab, the Talmud was eating. Meaning, I was only a Talmud of Rav Chista. So it was only in his zchus that I had the slav all this time. Now I understand why I don't have the slav, because Rav Chista is no longer around. Ksiv Atal Shechvas Atal, Uksiv Uberedes Atal. Amar Bizar Bechanina, Talmud Lamaila, Vitalmud Lamata, Vidoma Kamoshamunach Bukovsa. That the man would come down in between two layers of tal. It was as if it was in a bag, in a package. The man would come down. That's why we have one of the many shitos as to why it is that we cover the challahs is that the Torah writes is based on that. That it's a zecher leman. So you not only need a covering on top, but on the bottom also. You're supposed to have a challah board underneath it or some cloth underneath it in order to be a proper zecher leman. Dak mechuspas amar ish lakish davar shenimoach lapisayad. It would melt in the hands. Rabbi Yochanan amar davar shenivul b'masayim rabam shmona evarim. It would get totally absorbed in the 248 evarim of a person. Mechuspas tuva havi. The minion of mechuspas more than 248. Amram Nachman Yitzchak mechuspas ksiv. No, it's mechuspas without a vav. So it's written chaser without a vav, and without a vav, it's a gematria of exactly 248. Tan Rabban lechem abirim achal ish lechem shemalach yasharis ochel also div Rabbi Kiva. It's the food that malach yasharis eat. Ukshemu dvarim lefnei Rabbi Yishmael. Amar lehem tzuvim lo laakiva akiva teisa. Go tell Rabbi Kiva he made a mistake. Vechim malach yasharis ochel lechem. Balok kvar nemer lechem lo chalti imayim lo shasisi. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go when he was up with the malachim to be mekabel. He didn't need any bread. Elamani mekayim abirim lechem shenivul b'masayim rabam shmona evarim. That it's called lechem abirim because it gets fully absorbed in the 248 limbs of a person. Elamani mekayim v'yasatiyal azenecha. Why did they need a shovel then to put away their waste product if they didn't have any waste product? Dvarim shetigri umusa olam mochno salam. That was for the food that they ate that they bought from the umusa olam. So that had waste product and that's why they needed to go to the bathroom sometimes, but not from the month. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up from Lazar and Parta Omer. Have a great day. Good Shabbos, everybody.
Thank you.